TV.
Great news. God has hijacked another one of my shows. So you're going to hear from God today instead of me, because I had one completely different title, and then I was doing research into that title, and I was reading a scripture from Isaiah chapter 40, and my eyes opened to a passage I never considered before, and I said, this is much better than the show I had planned. But I'm going to walk you through the whole process here. I'm going to start you with the show I thought I was going to give. There's still some valuable lessons there. And then I'm going to take you to the show that God gave me. Welcome to MCTV. I'm Martin Zender, and still waiting on the desk. Still have to get the desk. Once I get the desk, we'll put that green screen up. And again, like I said, I feel naked without my microphone, but I'm getting used to it. Greg Davis said he thought this little art thing behind me was crooked, and he wondered, is it because I just can't tell, or was it from the earthquake the other day? I think it's straight now. I tried to adjust it. I mean, I don't have a level or anything, but I just hope Greg's happy. Well, wait a minute. This might need to go. Does this need to go up or down? Did that do anything? Did that make it worse? Greg, please comment. I got to tell you one thing I really love about being in Peru is that we don't have a car, and so we don't drive. And driving is just such a trial. I mean, there's a lot of traffic where we live in Florida. It's so hard to get anywhere. Florida is getting more crowded. I mean, which is not to say that a city of 11 million people, the largest city in the Americas, the second largest city, Lima, that's not to say it's not hard to get around here, but the drivers here are so skilled. It's amazing. In the U.S., people are so sluggish. You know, if everyone drove like me, this world would be a better place. I'm quick, but I'm safe. I'm alert. People have told me, Martin, relax. Who could relax driving? It's a big mistake to relax while you're driving. Don't ever let anyone tell you to relax while you're driving. Huge mistake. No, I'm always tense, and it's always a competition to me. And Americans do not know how to merge. When there's a merge coming up, you might as well order a pizza, have it delivered to your car. Do I go now? And you got people who ride until the merge comes, even though there's a sign for the merge a mile back and another sign at a quarter mile and another, and yet they're just shocked when the merge comes. What do I do? Not here. Oh, not here. It's like boom, 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 boom. They pull in, they pull in, they pull in. And they with only centimeters to spare in between cars, they don't care. They're so good. They're quick. You think you're going to die, but you don't. And Uber is, how do we get around? Good question. Uber is so inexpensive. It's a third of the cost or less. We can go for a 35-minute trip for like $8 or $9. It's unbelievable. It's the best way to get around. A car would be so expensive, but this is fantastic. And you feel like you're getting chauffeured, right? You just sit in the back and let the driver handle it. And boy, are they wizards. They're wizards. The one thing, I'll get to the message, but the one thing that really is driving me crazy in Florida, I think it's this way everywhere now, is when people come up to a light, you're supposed to pull up far enough that you can see the bumper of the person in front of you. No more, no less. Right at the bumper line, your windshield, your sight, your line of sight is at the bumper of the car in front of you. Oh, no. No, because people need their space to get on their cell phone. So some people, they leave three car lengths they pull up to the car in front of them so that they need room to put their messages on Instagram, you see. And by the time 10 cars do that, instead of having a 10-car-length problem, you have a 30-car-length problem with 10 cars. Because these people have no consideration for anybody behind them. Their world is right here. They are their own world. They have no idea how many intersections they're blocking behind them. And let me tell you, there is no chance of that happening here. If that ever happened here, people would be honked out of existence. But The horns have a language here. You have to know, like one of the drivers told us this. Every single, it's a whole language. Like one of these means get the hell out of my way. One means I'm here, watch out for me. One means why aren't you moving? It's a beautiful language. Merging, oh my God, sing. In a minute, less than a minute, the merge is complete. It takes a minute for each car to merge in my home country. Anyway, that's my beef about drivers in America. They're slugs. They're turtles. Here they are. They're swift. They're alert. They don't text while they drive. I feel like repeating that because of how amazing it is. All right, let's get to the message at hand. I thought the title of this show was going to be The Subtle Lie of Waiting on the Lord. Because think about this. We were all taught in organized religion that we're to wait on the Lord. Well, what the heck were we waiting for? A voice? A vision? A dream? What do you mean, wait on the Lord? I want to say this is a circumcision teaching because they're one step removed from where we are. With the circumcision, they being the bride of the lambkin is here, the bride is here. We being the body of Christ, much more intimate relationship. And Paul says to live is Christ. And an even better verse, Philippians 2:13. And we've talked about this verse many times, but not in this aspect. God is operating in us to will and to work. So God is operating in us to will and to work. So if God is, and we understand that God, I should just do a separate show on this. It is an important topic. So I'm not going to say too much about it now. I just realized now I want to spend more time with the topic God gave me. Not that this is not a God-inspired topic. I think you know what I mean. But we understand that God is the God of all circumstance. You can't know that unless you realize the sovereignty of God, that he's in control of everything, right? And so what are you waiting to see? What are you waiting for? What do you think is going to develop is what I want to say. What do you think is going to develop? What are you hoping will develop that will spur you? I mean, it's all circumstances. You just act based on the strongest circumstances. The impulse that hits you, and you realize it's of God. But when we were in religion, our impulses, we were worried, so worried that our impulses were against God and against Christ. It's my impulse. And you wait for that selfish impulse to die off, and then you wait and see what Christ is going to do, like what he's going to suddenly move in. But he lives in us. The Spirit of God makes his home in us. This is another radical truth. The Spirit of God makes his home in us. God is operating in us because of the Spirit of God making its home in us to will and to work for the sake of his delight. So we don't wait on nothing. We don't wait on the Lord. And again, what are we waiting for? Skywriting? Voices? Dreams? But when you understand that God is behind every circumstance, then you realize that the circumstance is the Lord. The circumstance is the thing that's telling you what to do. So you just follow your strongest impulse, trusting, as the thing, whole thing is about trust, trusting that God is operating in you to will and to work. And you have to be willing to make a mistake or several. You have to be willing to produce an Ishmael so that God can produce an Isaac. So you just do the best you can with the circumstances. You don't wait on the Lord. That sounds terrible, like terrible advice. But again, you're giving God much more credit by doing what I'm doing, is just assuming that God is operating in you to will. God's operating in you to will, and then God is also operating without you with the circumstances. So God is operating in the world with every single circumstance because all is of God. And so every circumstance is like a maze, if you will, like squeezing you to go one way or the other. And then whichever way you go, is an impulse provided to you by God. And maybe we couldn't say that before because we didn't know that living in me is Christ. We didn't realize this identity we had with Christ, right? We just didn't realize it. We thought Christ was over there and we're over here, and there the twain shall meet, and we have to see what he's doing and what we're doing. But no, we are one with Christ, and so no more of this. It's a trust, and I love that truth. And maybe I'll get into more detail on that later. But the one verse I thought of is Isaiah 40, 31. And here it is from the KJV. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, you knew I was going here. Isaiah 40, 31. Because this is the classic wait on the Lord verse. You say, Martin, you're going against this verse. Well, listen to this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Martin, this is the word of God. Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord. You're telling us it's wrong to wait upon the Lord, that we should trust the God of circumstance and trust the Spirit of God making its home in us, causing us to work and to will in accord with his delight. I decided, this is from the King James Version. And you know what I did? I wonder what the Concordant Version says, because the Concordant Version is the most accurate version in existence. Consistent, it is. And so I went to the Concordant Version of Isaiah 40, 31. And oh, the context is what I am going to thrill you with and comfort you with today, because it just comforted me. And I'm going to be thinking about this for the rest of my days upon this earth. Okay, let's review King James, Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord, like fold your arms, like, all right, God, do something. Come on, God, do something. What do you want me to do? Isn't that what people do? Lord, what should I do? I'm going to wait until you tell me what to do. What? Again, I say, I know I'm going back to the old topic again, but I can't help it. Again, I say, what are you waiting for? You do what your impulse is to do based on the circumstances. Okay, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Okay, what does the Concordant Version say? So different. Those who are expectant in Yahweh, expectant in Yahweh. Wow, that is different, isn't it? They're not waiting, they're expectant. This speaks to me of the future, of the promises God has made to us. And we being those who expect God to deliver, expectant in Yahweh. We don't simply hope in Yahweh. We expect him to deliver. We expect him to dispatch his son from heaven to get us the hell out of this wickedy. And we expect that. We expect to be glorified because he's already designated us beforehand. He's already called us. He's already justified us. And now the last thing remaining is glorify us. And we are expectant in Yahweh. So what happens to those who are expectant in Yahweh? Why, they shall rejuvenate with vigor. I don't know about you, but I could use some rejuvenation in my vigor. A little snap in the step, I need it badly. And I have a feeling you do too. They shall ascend on pinions like vultures. Not eagles, it's vultures. There's some significance to that. I just don't know what it is. Maybe I'll look into that. They shall run and not be wearied. See, God doesn't know that I already have the perfect running technique. They shall walk and not faint. Okay, I already got that ground covered. Thanks anyway, Lord. Okay, but the context, listen to this. I'm going to start, that was verse 31. I'm going to start with verse 25. And this is for those of you who think that God has forgotten you, who think that everything is so dry, everything is so, like, where's my inspiration? Where's the excitement I used to have for God? Where's the excitement I used to have for the scriptures? Hell, where's the excitement I used to have for life? Where is it? I have set my plans before God, and he says nothing. And none of the plans, none of my desires that I've set before God have come to pass. Some of them have, but I'm not satisfied because I think that God has just set me like a pot to boil, or even to simmer, worse yet, and gone off and forgotten about me. And one of the most frustrating things, again, is what our Lord also experienced when you pray. And what do you hear when you pray? This. That's rough. What did our Lord hear when he prayed? This. Ooh, that's even rougher. Him being, what, the Son of God? We're also sons of the living God. This, of course, is an exercise of faith. But here's the comfort. And I found this, again, intending to make a show simply on not needing to wait for the Lord. Here, that's not even the right translation, right? And I found this. To whom then shall you liken me? And they, oh, this is going to hurt a little bit, but it's good. To whom shall you liken me? I'm really interested in how God came back at Job. Job was complaining about all his circumstances, and God says, excuse me, can I say something now? And then he just bowls him over, shuts him up with the marvels of creation. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? All the creatures of the earth, everything God has made, everything God did, he lays that out before Job as if to say, I'm doing all of this. You think I'm not on your case? And when I say on your case, I don't mean like on your ass. I mean, do you not think I am managing everything perfectly with your life? Do you think the silence means that I'm not here? Oh, we think that sometimes, don't we? Dang, that silence is tough. But listen to this. To whom then shall you liken me? To whom shall I be equal? The Holy One is saying. Again, I'm in Isaiah 31, and now I'm on verse 26. Lift your eyes to the height and see. God's now pointing to the heavens, to the stars, to the planets, to everything that the Hubble telescope can look into. Lift your eyes to the height and see. Who created all these? He who is bringing forth their host by number, he is calling to them all by name. He orchestrates the movements of the heavens because he created the heavens. Because of the greatness of his virility and his resolute vigor, virility and vigor, two great V words. Because of the greatness of his virility and his resolute vigor, not one is missing. He hasn't lost track of a single comet, a single star, a single planet, a single universe. He has not lost track. Not one is missing. Not one is missing. Now, just think about that, because we can't find the end of the celestial world. Just like the strongest telescopes cannot find the end of the outward celestial world, the strongest microscopes can't find the end of the interior world. Right? Like the universe seems to be eternal that way and eternal that way. Ooh, no matter how much you look, more comes. They used to think the cell was the smallest building block of life. Then they found the atom. Then they found the parts of the atom. Oh my God. Then they split the atom. What the? Verse 27, why Jacob are you saying? This is to Israel. But remember, all the scriptures are for us. They're not all to us, but they're for us. And this is for you today. Why, Jacob, are you saying, why are you, Joe, or why are you, Susan, or why are you, Bob, or why are you, Keith, saying? And why are you speaking? My way is concealed from Yahweh. Why are you saying that? My way is concealed from Yahweh. Man, I must have a freaking black umbrella over my head because my life is concealed from Yahweh. He doesn't know what's going on with me because he's not doing anything about my circumstance. Why are you speaking? My way is concealed from Yahweh and my judgment is passed over by my Elohim. My judgment, oh my God, Why are you saying my judgment is passed over by my Elohim? I thought you were my Elohim. And we tend to say my judgment is passed over. My judgment, my opinion of things, my prayers, my expectations, my dreams are just being passed over. God is great, and he is great, and he's pointing out his greatness. But he's pointing out his greatness in order to comfort those who are asking these questions. These are legitimate gripes because it feels that way, but he's pointing out his glory to comfort us concerning his attention upon us. Let's go on. Why are you saying my way is concealed from Yahweh and my judgment is passed over by my Elohim? Do you not know? Oh, do you not know? Or do you not hear? The Elohim Aeonian is Yahweh. Aeonian, the Elohim, the subjector of the eons, the one who goes through time with us. I'm sure the King James here has the eternal God, and that is so wrong. Sounds so spiritual, sounds so right, but it's so wrong because we're getting special information here that he's the God of the eons. Do you not know? Do you not hear? The Elohim Aeonian is Yahweh. Yahweh, YHWH, the Tetragrammaton, will, being, and was. It's the future, the present, and the past. He's got it all wrapped up. That's what the name Yahweh means. Will, being, was. Future, present, past. God looks to the future first. Will, being, and was. That's how the name is set out. Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. Oh boy, he just put his finger on something we tend to think of him, like he's fainted. Will someone please bring some smelling salts to Yahweh Elohim? Will someone please splash his face with a bucket of cold water? Because he seems to have forgotten my situation. He does not faint, nor is he wearied. There is no fathoming. This next part is a killer. This next verse. This is the end of verse 28. There is no fathoming of his understanding. Oh my God, no fathoming. You can't even fathom how much he understands your situation. There it is. There is no fathoming of his understanding. And that's what we question. That's the basic thing we question, his understanding of our circumstance. He not only understands this, all that is implied with that word understanding, it includes the creation of your situation itself, the continuation of it, and God knowing the end of it. Will, being, and was. The was, he gave it to you. He created it. He saddled you with it. Being, he is with you as you are going through it. And will, he will remove it when the time is right. Will, being, was. Yahweh. That's what that name means. Yahweh. Will, being, was. He's a God of time. And that is put here with the Aeonian Elohim. So, like, my God, if you don't get by now that he's not removed from his creation and he's just as attendant upon you as he is upon the stars and the many, many universes of the celestial world, then here's the newsflash. He does not faint, nor is he wearied in this. There is no fathoming of his understanding. And what is the result of this? What I'm telling you, what God's telling you through Isaiah, has practical result. And now you're going to see the whole context of verse 31. We've heard that verse out of context. We never looked at the context. I'm giving you the context. There is no fathoming of his understanding. Just that is life-changing. He is giving vigor to the faint. What I just told you will give vigor to you. You're going to feel better after the show than before it. He is giving vigor to the faint. And to one who is without virility, he is increasing staunchness. How? With this information. It's an information war from start to finish. Bad information about God, wrong information about God versus right information, good information and right information about God. To one who is without virility, he is increasing staunchness. And he just bragged about his own virility because of the greatness of his virility and his resolute vigor. Not one is missing, not one celestial part, orb, star, comet is missing. So he takes his virility and he imparts it to us with the information that no one is fathoming his understanding. You haven't even begun to fathom how much he understands everything he's doing with you every minute, every second of every day. Verse 30, youths may faint and be wearied, and choice young men may stumble, yea, stumble. Yet those who are expectant in Yahweh, those who take him at his word and assume that he is going to deliver, who know that he is going to deliver, they shall ascend on pinions like vultures. They shall run and not be wearied. They shall walk and not faint. And so I pray to God that today, after hearing this word of God, I hope that this causes you to not faint. I hope this causes you to be filled with a little more vigor than you had before you heard this. It does me.